Sing to the Savior a song of praise. Come, let us worship the Lord. Trust in His might, walk in His light. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Great are His wonders and grand His ways. Come, let us worship the Lord.
Heavens will reign,
Jesus shall reign.
Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yes, Son of Man, conquering lion, yes, sovereign Lamb. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord. Sing to the God of eternity. Come, let us worship the Lord. He is the King, rise up and sing. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Sing to the Victor of Calvary. Come, let us worship the Lord.
Honor the Son,
Jesus has won.
Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yes, Son of Man, conquering lion, yet suffering lamb. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord.
Worship the Lord, worship the Lord.
Come, let us worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lamb.
Good morning, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 33, verses 1, 3, and 4. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that as we worship you in spirit and in truth, we will be able to reason together with the scripture and find words of encouragement, words of conviction, words that reveal to us who we are and how we should lead for you. We are grateful that we can praise your name. We are grateful that we were convicted of sin and therefore run to Jesus to give us life and life eternal. And now, Lord, forever, we want to praise him and thank him and be able to say great things about the wonders of the love of Christ in our life. A love that has no barriers, a love that knows no race, a love that knows no age, a love that doesn't distinguish one from another, a love that is complete. And we are grateful for his love. Now, Father, you command the disciples to preach the gospel till you come. And so, Father, we, in fulfillment of that commandment of Matthew 28, we keep on opening the doors of the church. We keep on sending tapes to people and CDs and using the development of science that you allow people to know so that we can broadcast the gospel through the internet and through the ministry of radio. And we pray that those who are listening via that way will be blessed too, and that their life will be strong first and most, that they will know Jesus as Savior, and then that they will follow him as disciples of Christ. Father, for many of us now that sickness comes on the way, and it seems that I cannot kick this infection or whatever is disturbing me away, and that the medicine is not working. And so I pray for your mercy upon my life and for the wisdom to reason with doctors to find out what can be done so that I can be strong again. Bless those who are sick. I reminded when I'm sick of those in the church who are permanently in bed, like Mrs. Forrest. And when I visit her, I never heard that she is sick. I only heard that she's encouraging me by telling me that whatever comes to her bed will hear about Christ. And so, Father, I just get in love in this sickness with my computer, and I start writing Sunday school lessons and things for the future, because there is nothing more than the love for you, according to our gift, that develop and strengthen our life. Lord, we are grateful again for the ministry of Marilyn Dulillo and this church. And now we are grateful again for Darlene Laurel, as she is the interim choir director and assume a tremendous responsibility. But we already hear the voice of the hearts of our people, so beautiful, not only in coordination and only in the harmony, but we can feel their heart, and that's the important part of the ministry. Now, Father, give us to our all our missionaries, those who are sick, like Fred, and now I sympathize with him, Lord, that nothing can be done to recover. To be sick is not too fun, but it's not too bad. But to be sick and nothing can be done is very hard. And so, Father, we pray for him and for his wife. For Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, for Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Malaga, for David and Denise Rhodes in Papua New Guinea, for Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, for Martha Peretti in Buenos Aires, for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, for the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey in the Outdoor Sport Ministry. Thank you, Father, that not only you provide for us here in this church, so that the church never fail my salary. Lord, I praise your name for the love of your people for me. And I praise your name for the love of these people, that we never fail the salary of any missionary in this church. And we have some of them for 20 years, and we never have failed to send a check every month to their mission field. Lord, thank you for the people you send me here to be a pastor. I pray that you restore me so that I can perform and work with them as I should. Father, bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel according to John. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 622. That's 622. We will be reading John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word? John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the great miracle that you have wrought in our lives. We thank you that while we were dead in trespasses and sin, we were born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, believing in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and have gained eternal life. Father, we didn't earn it. That would be impossible. But we are saved by your mercy and grace alone. Amen. We pray for anyone listening here or on the radio or internet or tape or CD who have not been reconciled to you, that as they hear the good news of your salvation, that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would experience your love and be saved from judgment and condemnation. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he comes to speak of the wonders of your love. We thank you, Father, that he is able to be in the pulpit today after enduring such a high fever during the week. And we thank you and ask that you would return to good health quickly. Bless him as he comes to further explain the scriptures. We thank you that he is able to be here today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated.
The question where, and I will show you this month that God is alive and living interviews. See, Christ was not interested in politics. You and I, maybe I love politics and I'm more interested maybe than you are, but Christ was not interested in politics, investments, financial prosperity, house improvement, pleasure street, and so on. He was interested, focused in only one thing, people. That's what every pastor should do. So my series for this month is God is Alive and Living Interviews. Last Sunday, we had the first interview, and I hope you remember the name of the man, Nathaniel or Bartholomew, depend what language you use. As you know, there is only one book in the Bible that was written other than Hebrew or Greek, is the book of Matthew that was written in Aramaic. And so you find names in the Gospel of John. They are different in the Gospel of Matthew. And some people think it's a controversy of the scripture. It is because it's a different language. That's all. Today, I'd like to bring your attention another interview. You know it by heart. You learn it in Sunday school. Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a highly and deeply religious man who was a member of the highest court that Jerusalem had, the Sanhedrin. When you go for your doctorate in theology, you have to meet the highest board of directors of the theological school. Okay, that was the Sanhedrin. But all the good thinkers were, that was Nicodemus. And I pick him because that particular reason. The Sanhedrin was the supreme council of the religious people. Even can determine death, if necessary, under the rule of Judaism. Now, you need a background on John 3. I know a lot of people make quotations on John 3:16 and make quotations on John 3:1-5, but remember, the Bible was divided by people the best they could so that we can put the finger on, and we thank God for the Pope who did this work and outline every verse and every chapter. He was a very studious man in the 1100s, and so we can pinpoint. But the paragraph is not just a chapter. The paragraph starts a little before. And so let me give you a historical background so that you know the man that we're going to see the interview. Jesus of Nazareth was seen by many, many, many people already. Others have heard the miracles he performed in Cana of Galilee and are eager to see him and to hear him. That is before chapter 3. As Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem, he enters the very life of the religious people. He entered into the temple. And let me narrate it for you, and then I'm going to show you the scripture. As he smelled the stink of cattle market in the temple court, as he heard the clang of the money changes, remember they were changing in gold, and no, the money that we have now there is false. As he hear the bargaining, you know, if you're in a Jewish market, the bargaining, I give you this, I give you the other, and they were bargaining for the prices. As he hear the whole thing, he stirs up to indignation and to wrath. And with a corded whip in his hand, he drives out the oxen and the sheep, and he overturned the tables and threw away the money of the money changers. Let me read it for you. It's in John chapter 2. It starts in verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. When the Bible said this person went up to Jerusalem, it's not just to see the city, it's the temple. The temple was the center. Verse 14. And found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. People came from different cities, had different kind of money, and they were exchanging the money. Verse 15, and when he had made a whip of a small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And now look what Jesus said in verse 16. And he said, take these things hence, may not my Father's house a house of merchandise. Now there is a lot of theologian listening. The common people maybe don't get it, but the theologians certainly get it. He called the temple, who was the center of salvation of the Jewish people, where the offering was made, he called the temple his Father's house. Is he saying that the God of this temple is his Father? Now, the common people, and maybe you read that and don't pay attention to it, but if you're a Jew, you say, wait a minute. Let's go to the Sanhedrin and take this guy up for an examination because he claims to be God. You see what I saw? And the Sanhedrin talk, they passed. And they said, well, we have a sneaky man, a great theologian, a Larry King of the Jewish people. He can make good questions. He can really dig into. He can really go into the brain of this guy, and he will turn him apart. And so we read in chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees, of the doctors of the law, chapter 3, verse 1, named Nicodemus, a ruler, a supreme, brilliant theologian of the Jewish people. The same came to Jesus. Look at how smart he was by night. So he don't want any compromise. He don't want any media around. Because you know how the media is, they blow everything up. You don't want that to happen. So he came to Jesus with questions, and he got answers. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to see this interview, Larry King and the other side, and Jesus and the other side. This Larry King is a theologian. And he really is going to put the finger on Jesus. He's going to show up everything he knows. He's going to show Jesus that he knows the maximum of theology, and Jesus is going to show him the love of God. Let's see. Question number one. And verse 2 is the question number one, and the question is this: How can I be a man of God? See, he's not questioning Jesus about, are you a man of God? He's like, how can I be a man of God? Verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God. He don't say that God is your father, but he really put Jesus on. He think. You know, if you attack somebody, then you get a reaction to it. But this guy's smooth talker. I tell you, Larry King is a smooth talker. And he comes in, and you know, he don't say, Jesus, I heard that you said this is my father's house. No, he said, you really teach something from God. You know, he wants, how do you call that? You want Jesus to feel good so that you can take it, you know? A good police guy. And said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God. And then he made a true statement, a theological statement. He says, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost. He don't question the miracles. How can you question a miracle? Except God be with him. In other words, he is saying, how can I, Nicodemus, be a man of God? And then he said back. Like Larry King does. Have you watched Larry King? He said back. After he put a question like a viper, he said back, like an angel. Now Jesus answered. Verse 3. Jesus said. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, or born from above, that would be the proper translation. Not the word again, but born from a higher power than himself, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What is this? Well, perhaps an explanation of this, if you go with your Bible to the book of James on page 711, and the book of James chapter 1, in page 711, and in verse 17, you get a glimpse of what Jesus is talking about. Page 711 in the Bible in the pew is the book of James chapter 1, and verse 17. James said this, every good gift and every perfect gift, so has to be salvation, perfect gift, is from above, and cometh down from the Father of life, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So Jesus answered, he said, except a man be born from God, he cannot be in the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus answered this way to Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, it is not a matter of choice. It is a matter of grace. Nicodemus, it is not a matter of studying in a seminary. It is a matter of receiving from God the touch of the Holy Spirit. Nicodemus, it's not a matter of studying like crazy. It is a matter of seeing God through the written word. And that's only a gift from above. No man can have it. Well, now the ball is in Larry King's territory. And Nicodemus answered another question in verse 4. Here's the question. Jesus, is anything humanly speaking I can do. That's intellectual power. Look at verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? He took Jesus to the literal. He's not stupid. And then he said, can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? And he said, bye. All right, that's a fair question. Jesus told him, except a man be born from above, and he said, I'm already old. How can I be born from above? What is he talking about? See, that's give you an idea that when an unbeliever talks to a believer, the unbeliever have no idea. Let's have patience with unbelievers, will you? Let's have a tremendous love. Let's have a tremendous compassion. You and I were one of them before. And we never understood. I never understood when my mother said she had a picture in the back of the bed of the two ways. And she said, son, one day you have to make be sure that you are in the narrow way. I had no idea what she said. Of course, I was not a believer. When my grandma seated me in her laps after my mother was seeking for me to spank me for something I did, she says, well, have mercy on this boy as God has mercy on us. I had no idea what grandma said. When grandma opened the windows of her wonderful kitchen, old kitchen, very primitive, she opened the windows and the chocolate was boiling and he said, perhaps it's today. She was looking for the coming of the Lord. I had no idea what she was talking about. There was a wall behind the wall and there was a roof and I said, I don't know, what is she looking for? You know, it's real. Salvation is real and the Bible is real. And unless God touches our heart, we cannot see this. And so Nicodemus is asking the question, Jesus, I'm an intellectual. I'm a religious person. I'm a man who knows God. Now tell me how these metamorphics will happen. I'm old, I become young again, in my mother womb, and up again. What's going on, Jesus? Jesus answered the question in verse 5, 6, and 8. Let's take the answer slowly. First, Jesus kindly explained to him in verse 6 that I am not talking about a human kingdom, he said. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Your natural birth is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is a spirit. Nicodemus, I'm not talking about your physical body. I'm talking about your spiritual being. Oh, I'm a spiritual man. Yes, you are not an animal who has no spirit. You have a spirit. God gave you that spirit to you when you were born. So I'm talking about that. I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about spiritual. Then he said in verse 5, I am not talking about religious catechism, but the word and the spirit. Look at what Jesus said. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, and Nicodemus knew what that was, and I'm going to explain it in a minute, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He said clearly, Nicodemus, come on, boy. There are two factors in being a child of God. One is water. Oh, do you mean when I'm a baby, then my mother brings me to the church, to the temple, and the priest baptizes me? No, Nicodemus, no. Remember, I'm talking about spiritual things. So move your Bible with me to the book of Ephesians. I don't have the page here, but it's Ephesians chapter 5. And look with me in verse 26. Paul reveal to us what water and the word is as he instructs a husband how to help his wife. See, this matter of subordination is limited by the word of God. You cannot say to your wife, do what I say because I say it. No, you can't. The Bible doesn't authorize you to do that. Here is a way you help your wife. Verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. In other words, water in the Bible is a symbol of the living word of God. And the husband's supposed to say to his wife when he's in disagreement, darling, I found this in the scripture, and what you want to do is against the scripture. Well, how do you stand by that? And wait for his wife answer on the scripture. In other words, let the scripture do the work in your life of washing whatever you want to do. Jesus said to Nicodemus, in order to have that inside of being from God, you need to have the Word. Ladies and gentlemen, being saved, of course, it's emotional and it's dramatic, but if you have no Word, you cannot be saved. I counsel you, if you doubt me, please buy a Bible. Go to the store. If you don't have it, take the Bible right there in the pew with you. And read it. Where? Starting whatever you want to start. You want excitement? Read Joshua. You want really being depressed and want to be depressed? Read Lamentations. You know? It's everything. It's tomorrow newspaper. You want to know where everything is start? Read Genesis. It's just amazing. Everything is here. But you will discover as soon as you read the Bible that there is a burden, there is a line in the entire Bible that points to one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tremendous. He said, Nicodemus, darling, please, is by the Word, and what is it? In John chapter 3, verse 5, and the Spirit. What do you mean, the Spirit? I'm a theologian. I'm a doctor. I'm a PhD. What do you mean by the Spirit? I tell you what I mean. John chapter 16, please. John chapter 16 and verse 7. Jesus talking, and he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, who is this Comforter? You are in John 16. Move your Bible to John 14 now and verse 26. And the Bible defined who is the Comforter. The Bible said in John 14, 26, by the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. You see it? Now, the word Comforter and the word Holy Spirit is the same. All right? The Holy Spirit is not a policeman who punish you. The Holy Spirit is a comforter, somebody who comes to your help. You understand? Some people preach the Bible in such a way that brings a hatred against an unbeliever. Come on. God is not that way. Now look, let's go back to John 16. In verse 7, Jesus said, I will depart from here, and I will send you somebody else who will bring that comfort to you. And verse 8 says in John 16, and when he is come, he will convict or reprove, the old English word is correct, reprove or convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. See, Jesus, going back to John chapter 3, verse 5, said, you need water and the Spirit. You need the Word of God and you need the Spirit of God to convince you. I cannot make you a believer. I can baptize you, hold you there for an hour, and carry you out. But no, you're not a believer. Of course, you come out dead. But it's not the believer. You know what I mean? Some people think that believers are made by machines. And no, believers, it takes years. And you grandparents do well in reading the scripture to your children. Because if I remember something of my past, is my mother's hands of us and my grandma reading the scripture. And boy, I got a love for the scripture, and the scripture led me to Christ. And parents, please, in your home, open your Bible together and read the scripture. Because when you read the scripture, then the Spirit of God works. When it's your opinion against my opinion, your is right as well as mine. We're in the same level. But when there is the opinion of God, then we have the top level. So here Jesus said to him, my friend, I'm not talking about religious catechisms, whether it's Protestants or whether it's Roman Catholics or whatever. No, I'm talking about the Word and the Spirit of God. And then he answered again. He said, I'm not talking about a select group of people. Because remember, he is a Jew.
And you know what the Jews believe? The Jews believe that they are the only ones. And they were the only ones. And Numbers said, God said, I select you because you were the rotten apple of the world, but I select you to magnify my name on it. But Jesus said, that's not in that way. Look at verse 8. John 3, verse 8. The wind blows where it pleases, and hears the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God works in everybody. Chinese people, Argentine people, Mexican people, and some American people. You see that? The Spirit of God works. So Nicodemus, we are not limited to a race and to a nation. It's unlimited, unrestricted. A child of God can be from everywhere. Now, this theologian who read the Old Testament and who read the book of Numbers and who read the whole thing without reading Genesis 13, where God said to Abraham, you will be the father of many nations, he's narrow-minded and he thinks that his only denomination is the only truth. I met a lot of people like that who said, because I'm a Reformed Baptist, we are the only saved. But my friend, I don't know, saved from what? There's no God in that way. God is a God who makes no discrimination, who endorses no denomination, but he said, it's my word and my spirit. So here is the ball back to Nicodemus. And now Nicodemus, the Larry King of his generation, is saying, well, last question, Jesus. Verse 9. Nicodemus said, how are these things able to happen? That's a good question. That's a good question. Jesus, this is over my head, but tell me, how are all these things able to happen? How the Word and the Spirit we work of me? The answer, Jesus' answer in verse 14. Jesus said to him, this answer to you means nothing, but to a Jew, this is the top answer. Look at verse 14. You need really to know the Old Testament. Some people said, read the Gospel of John, it's the easy gospel. Are you kidding? The Gospel of John is based on the entire Old Testament. You better read Genesis to Deuteronomy 100 times before you read the Gospel of John. Look at verse 14. And Moses lifted up the serpent. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so you say, well, what do you mean, Jesus? I tell you what I mean. Let's go to Numbers right here in the Bible, to the book of Numbers, chapter 21. If you go back in your Bible, you find the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verse 7 and verse 8 and verse 9. Numbers 21, 7, 8, 9. Some people think, as Jesus said, as Moses lift up the serpent and you look on it, that's the way. And people say, that's it. No. Look carefully. Read carefully Numbers chapter 21, verse 7. The people were in a mess, really a mess. They were complaining. They were arguing. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Ladies and gentlemen, what is that? That's conviction. That's conviction. Moses had been dealing with it. Moses was the word of God embedded in his person. And people were arguing with him. Finally, the people get convicted. You get convicted first, before you look up to the serpent. And not just going over there, where is the serpent? No, you don't go to look for the serpent unless you are convicted. He said, Moses said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. Remember, there were a lot of serpents on. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he believed. He lived. Now listen carefully. Was not just looking to the serpent. You have to believe. You have to be convicted. Believe is not an easy thing. Believe is being convicted. You have to be convicted. You say, I need help. All right? I need help. You need to be convicted. When the people of Israel cry out for mercy, God provide a cure. Did Nicodemus believe? John 3 doesn't say it, but the Bible says it. What was the result of this interview? In John 19 and in verse 39, Nicodemus is unashamed. Jesus is dead. The body is hanging on the cross. By the Jewish law, he cannot be on the night of the Passover. They need to put it in some place. And the Bible said, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes and about 100 pounds weight. So he was unashamed, unrestricted devotion to Jesus. And verse 40 to 42, he was unafraid. He was a disciple. Then took they the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloth with the spices and as the manner of the Jew is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. In the garden, a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. And that's to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah 22. There laid, let me retranslate this, because it was the Jewish day of the preparation, and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. And who was there? Nicodemus. Nicodemus. Nicodemus was the person at the last moment. Showing up when everything was hard, Nicodemus was there. I read in a magazine that one Sunday afternoon in Chicago, a group of ball players enter a saloon, a nightclub. When they emerge, they saw a group of the Salvation Army people playing an instrument and singing gospel songs. Memories of an old cabin in Iowa, an old church and a godly mother raced through the mind of one of the ball players. Tears came to his eyes. He looked to the other players and said, that's it. We have come to a parting ways. He turned from the group and entered the old great Pacific Garden Mission. Later, the ball player told people what happened in his life. For a week, he was praying for God's mercy. That's what his mother told him. God's mercy upon my life. That night, a group of people that supposed not to be there chose to play at the entrance of the saloon. They're supposed to go to a park, but they said, why we don't do it here tonight? Is God wonderful? And they decided to do it. And Billy Sunday, a ball player for the Chicagos, was found of God. Years later, he became a world-renowned preacher. A great evangelist. You know, folks, that's the way God's work. You pray with a whole heart. God, have mercy on me. God, I don't know anything. I don't understand anything. But have mercy on me. And God's going to use something to show you in the Word who God is. I know because in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 18, and in verse 13, the word again, the theologians and an accountant. The accountant was very humble. In Gospel of Luke chapter 18 and verse 13, the Bible said the publican, the accountant, standing afar off, will not lift up as much as his eyes unto heaven, but is smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. You got the last words? God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Look at what Jesus said. I tell you, said Jesus, verse 14, this man went down to his house justified. I never forgot in my life, in the life of this church, at the very beginning, there was a young couple. They were in trouble. I knew them when they were in high school in the city of San Jose. And the man called me and asked me and my wife to go to their home to talk to them. Very young, 20 years old. The man very convicted. The man very, very responsive to the gospel. So I said, I read that passage in the home with my wife. And I said, can you say the words of this publican in your heart? And she said, Lord, be merciful unto me. And I wait. And we all wait. Remember? We all wait. And I start crying. Because that's the battle life that you face. Satan will hold you right on the last word. Because that's the word of conviction. I said, darling, you have to say sinner. I will never say I'm a sinner. I hope she's a believer today. I don't know where she is. You know me. I just love people wherever they are. But you know, you cannot be proud before God. You cannot say, I'm me, because God is not interested in the me, is interested in your being, so that you can be his. How's your life? Have you been convicted by the word of God? Have you trusted that Lord? Have you lift up your eyes and now there is no more a serpent? Now it is a remarkable Savior at the right hand of God praying for us and making intercession for us. Have you met him? Have you sincerely said, God, you are my Savior and my leader. I'm your disciple. And whenever sin is bad, I'm yours and I'm for you. Some people said, and many pastors that I talked in the conference said, you know, some people come to church, some people leave. And, you know, the Southern Baptist Convention loves churches of 3,000-4,000 people. And if you don't grow by 100 every week, you are low in your spiritual life. That's the way they think. It's okay. But when I brought the sermon to them and I said, you know, how many of those people who were raised their hand and were baptized, how many of those people are there? Well, every year they go away because they are not saved. See, salvation is not a matter of a choice. It's a matter of grace. It's the grace of God upon your life. But remember what Jesus said. It's for everybody. It's not for a select group of Baptists, for a select group of Catholics. It's for everybody. You find the Lord somewhere, somehow. But find it and believe it. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you give us a message of hope in your scripture. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because hope is what we need. May people listen to this and believe. May people here in the auditorium who have not believed, believe that Jesus is the link between themselves and God. And then we can be a child of God. Thank you, Lord, that we have your word. May I pray for every father, Lord, that they may read the word of God in their homes to mamas and to children. And tell them with great love, here is what God said. Sometimes we read it, Father, and we don't understand it, but that's okay. We keep on reading because another scripture will explain the scripture that we read before. Thank you for the Bible, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Worship His Majesty unto Jesus. Be all glory, honor, and praise. to his Son, his end embrace. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorify, King of all kings. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify, Christ Jesus the King. Worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorify, King of all kings.
Tell the congregation her son is on the way to take...
My first son is in Iraq. He served as a civilian, as a firefighter. And my younger son is to go see him this afternoon, so pray for him. And ever since he stayed in the Iraq, it brought so many changes in my life and our family. We become more united. We know how brotherly love is so beautiful things and to enjoy. And I just ask you your mercy, God's mercy, and watching over my son in Iraq. Thank you.
What's his name?
Charles and Paul.
Lord, we pray today as we leave the service that you look upon Miran's son, and we pray for the blessing of the unity of the family and the joy of God. Sometimes something negative and drastic change for good. And we pray for a great protection in this moment. In Jesus we pray, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand, please, for the benediction? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Amen.